Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Wearing their Sunday best, hundreds of current and former members of the LDS Church marched alongside their brothers and sisters in drag in this year's annual Gay Pride Parade in Salt Lake City. The outpouring of support for the LGBT community stands in stark contrast to the church's staunch support of California's Prop 8, which banned gay marriage in 2008. Today on the program, we're discussing Mormons building bridges and where the conversation between Mormons and gays goes from here. Joining me in studio is Valerie Larrabee. She is executive director of the Utah Pride Center. Valerie, good to see you.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Also with us, Kendall Wilcox. He's an Emmy-winning filmmaker and the executive producer of Empathy First Productions. His film In Progress, Far Between examines the gay Mormon experience. And Kendall, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Erica Munson, a mother of five who lives in Sandy, a lifelong Mormon and founder of Mormons Building Bridges, a group dedicated to reaching out and showing love to the LGBT community. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
Later on in the program, a little bit of country. The Folka Dots will join us in studio. But first, Mormons and gays. What do you think the Mormons Building Bridges movement accomplished on Sunday? Where do you think the conversation between the LDS faithful and the gay community goes from here? You can join our conversation. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255, or send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. You've all had several days to reflect on Sunday's march. I'm wondering how you're processing the Mormons Building Bridges experience. Erica, let's start with you.
Well, it was an incredible day. We were hoping for 100 people, and we got over 300. And it was really, really moving. We felt as if we were so welcome. People were so moved by our presence, and we were moved. We were really guests in this parade. We had felt like it was time to reach out to the LGBT community and show them our love and our unconditional love, which is what we've been taught from the time we were little kids. And so it was really an amazing, amazing experience.
Hmm. Kendall, you were there. Impressions, reflections.
I echo what Erica said. And for most that were there, that participating, they came up and said, you know, this was in essence one of the most sort of Christian experiences that I've had, sort of purely Christian experiences, where they chose to step outside their comfort zone and really try with their best effort to convey some sincere feeling of love and a desire to overcome any sort of rift that may, you know, or does exist between the gay community and the LDS community. Mm-hmm. And so there was just a lot of gratitude, a lot of, outpouring of love. So,
Valerie, what did it mean for you to see so many devoted members of the LDS Church demonstrating in this way?
I remember when I started working at the Pride Center almost 8 years ago, and I remember where we were then. And so when I came up to the staging area where the group was standing prior to the parade, I wept. And it's my understanding that there was a lot of that going on all throughout the parade route. And so for me and for others, it was a very healing experience. Hmm.
Healing, emotional. Erica, you're a Mormon mother of five. You're straight. What's a straight Mormon woman doing marching in a pride parade?
Well, I had the feeling that it was time for there to be an LDS presence in this great institution, which is the Pride Parade. And also as a mother, I had seen my kids grow up. I have, right now, my kids are age 27 to 13, and I've noticed this phenomenon of they get to be 16 or 17, and they sense a disconnect between what they've been taught about Jesus loving everyone, Jesus walking away from none, and the people who taught them that seem to be walking away from the LGBT community. So I've seen that through fresh eyes, through my kids, and I felt like it was time to stop that. And we needed to walk toward the LGBT community.
Why did you feel compelled to start this conversation? I mean, was there a tipping point, a certain moment in the public discourse that really urged you on to act?
You know, I think it's been a long journey, but I love public displays of us and them turning into us. And I felt like in this instance, in the Pride Parade, maybe we could get close to something like that.
So what does the conversation look like? Are you staking out a position in the gay rights debate, in the same-sex marriage debate? There's a lot of conversation going on right now. So what is the position of Mormons building bridges?
We have chosen not to be a political group. We chose not to take a stand on marriage equality either way. Right now, our vision is just to extend this message of love. We want LGBT people to feel welcome in our congregations and safe in our pews. We need to start the conversation going, and that's where we are.
Speaking with Erica Munson, she is the founder of the group Mormons Building Bridges, which marched with in the Gay Pride Parade this past Sunday. Also with us, Kendall Wilcox, Emmy Award-winning filmmaker, executive producer of Empathy First Productions, and Valerie Larrabee, executive director of the Utah Pride Center. And we're talking about Mormons and the gay community. If you'd like to give us a call, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Kendall, tell us briefly about your journey. You served a mission, an LDS mission, worked for many years at BYU TV, all the while knowing that you were gay. What eventually led you to coming out publicly?
Excuse me. It was a confluence of a lot of events. I had approached the idea for a few years prior. But in the end, it was this combination of factors that I felt like as a communicator, as a filmmaker, I felt like it was sort of made sense that that I should be taking advantage of this opportunity as a filmmaker and as a gay Mormon to help the conversation along, and because it felt like there was a missing voice in terms of trying to describe that experience of being gay and Mormon for today. There has been, you know, some you know, documentaries in the past, but and so I just felt like sort of an obligation to come out. So that was sort of the external, but then internal, I just knew that my sort of lifestyle at the time, in terms of just being sort of the very, very closeted, was unsustainable for me. It wasn't healthy. Not that I wasn't living a double life or anything like that, but it's just that incongruity and the inability to just sort of present myself authentically in all of my areas of my life was taking a serious toll. And I mean, I was depressed, I think we could say. suicidal, and I couldn't sustain that any longer. So
you've decided to remain faithful in the LDS Church. How and why? why align yourself with a church that historically has excommunicated gay members, has condemned homosexuality as a sin from the pulpit?
How much time do you got?
Yeah. 2 minutes.
Yeah. A 2 minute answer. I mean, it goes to issues and questions of religiosity and spirituality and identity, that I felt or am feeling right now that I don't actually have to give up on all of my Mormon identity, my Mormon experience, which I love dearly. And I'm so proud of, and I'm so grateful to have been brought up in the sort of household of faith, and all the good things that religion can do for anyone, you know, Mormonism has done for me. And so to walk away from that feels like tearing away a huge part of my soul. But of course, at the same time, trying to negotiate between my sexual identity and my spiritual identity is extremely challenging, exhausting at times, I'm not going to lie. But still, to this day, I feel like it is worth it. You know, I mean, not to be too glib, but I mean, religion sort of demands something of everyone if you really try to engage in it. That's part of the relationship with religion, and it challenges us to reach inside and try to find ways to be better people. And now, that said, I'm not saying that not being gay is going to make me a better person. I do not believe that at all. In fact, I've lived that life, and it's made me an unhealthy person. But I just see value in trying to integrate those two aspects of my life, and I see a lot of hope in it. Where it's going to go long term, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but I'm open to the journey, and I'm trying to stay healthy in the process.
Valerie, I imagine elements of Kendall's storyline sound very familiar. Yeah, I'm sure these are themes that you have heard from a lot of people in this community who have strong feelings of faith toward the LDS Church, and yet they have this identity part of them that is difficult to reconcile.
Yes, I have heard a similar story to Kendall's over and over and over again. And I think that it does take a great deal of soul searching and reconciliation with the beliefs that you hold as a member of the church, as well as trying to live your life with integrity. And unfortunately, most of the stories that I've heard, people have been unsuccessful in that way, and many have been excommunicated because they're active sexually. And it's particularly difficult for the young people, the young teenagers.
Speaking with Valerie Larrabee with the Utah Pride Center, Erica Munson with Mormons Building Bridges, and Kendall Wilcox, Emmy Award-winning filmmaker and executive producer of Empathy First Productions. We're talking about the recent show of support at the Gay Pride Parade by a group of Mormons, hundreds of Mormons, showing up to spread a message of love. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's go to the phones. Ben is joining us from Salt Lake City. Ben, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead.
Hi, I wanted to say thank you to the Mormons Building Bridges. I know how important it was for a lot of my friends who grew up Mormon and felt alienated by the church. I myself did not grow up Mormon, nor in Salt Lake, so I didn't really understand the dynamic until probably a couple of years ago when it started getting heavy with the Prop A thing. And I myself have only ever had good experiences with my LDS friends. I'm transgendered, and when I got surgery, I had two of my really good Mormon friends come over and bring me casseroles. So I just wanted to personally say thank you, and I think it's wonderful what you guys have done and what you guys will continue to do. And I think it's very important for the Utah gay community to have that.
Ben, thanks very much for the call. Erica, it's probably heartening to hear Mormons reaching out with casseroles, because that's what we do.
That's
what Mormons do.
Is that the most wonderful image or what? That is something that we see Mormons Building Bridges. We want more of that. We want more of that. And I just want to say to Ben, thank you. Before the march, we tried to reach out to the LGBT community and ask them if we were even wanted in this parade. Would there be antagonism from the crowd? You know, should we do this? Are we going into, are we trading on people's toes? And we were just overwhelmingly welcomed. And they said, we love you. We are so glad you're here. So, Ben, thank you for your sentiments.
And bridges are two-way streets, Valerie. You know, how has the gay community reached out to the LDS community?
Mm. That's a great question. And it's been years of attempts and sometimes no answer. But I'm happy to say that post Prop 8 that there has been a great dialogue between the gay community and the LDS Church here in Salt Lake. And it gets tenuous sometimes because it's the church is not aligned. The leadership of the church is not all, they're not all aligned on our issues or the relationship with our community. And so at times when we trust that we've made progress, there'll be a step backwards. And we're okay with that because we know that the cost of us not continuing to reach out is very great.
Ben, thanks for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's go to Jeff, who's been holding from Salt Lake City. Jeff, hello. Jeff, are you there? Apparently not. 801-355-TALK is our number. We'll go to Bruce in Salt Lake City. Bruce, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wasn't aware of this, Mormons Building Bridges, until the show today, and I think it's fantastic. I don't come from an LDS background, but I come from a very fundamentalist right-wing background where tolerance, I think, got muddled up with acceptance. And I think the group's goal of just starting, just talking is a great starting point. I think sometimes the religious right confuses tolerance with acceptance, and they think they have to endorse, you know, things that they don't personally support. And so then walls go up, and maybe I could toss that out as a question to Erica and Kendall, how they see the process, you know, ideally moving forward to get from just talking to starting to recognize the humanity in each other and realizing that we're all flawed people and share so much in common.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Kendall, you want to start?
Yeah, I think just to go right to his question in terms of, you know, and Eric will correct me if I'm wrong, where building bridges will move from here, at least from the sort of uniting, codifying experience of the parade is now we have a big Facebook group community. There's just something just shy of 2,000 people, and that's they've come together literally like the last 10 to 14 days. Where we would like that Facebook group to go is that it become this very virtual gathering place for members of the church and people who are not members of the church, members in the LGBT community who are there, that it be a place for exchanges of ideas of real concrete specific ways that members of the church can create change within their congregations. There's so many different big and small ways within local congregations that members of the church can speak up, speak to their leaders in their own roles and capacities, and you know, as teachers in Sunday school or with the young men or young women, where they can speak up and still stay sort of within the confines of what the church asks and in terms of sort of rhetoric and political policy, but to overcome what has been this gap between what the good intentions of most Mormons to that, you know, they don't feel like they're bigots, at least they don't feel like they're being unloving, and what they're sort of waking up to is there has been this gap, and maybe the silence has led people to sort of fear their LDS community, to maybe even be self-loathing and even to the point of suicide, especially with LGBT Mormon youth. And so these straight allies in the Mormon church are sort of waking up to that and realizing we could do some significant things to change the atmosphere within our Mormon communities or in our congregations. And so we're trying to let that Facebook group be this place where people can exchange. I've already heard about a dozen amazing stories of exchanges with bishops and stake presidents they're having firesides, they're having these special meetings just to raise awareness and understanding. And so we hope that will continue.
Erica, how did your ecclesiastical leadership respond to your involvement in this project? I mean, did you get feedback from your leaders, your bishop, your fellow congregants?
I was really surprised. The week before the march, I decided I should just let my bishop know what I was doing and that, you know, we might be in the news. And I really wasn't expecting a lot of support. He's a pretty straight-laced guy. He works full-time for the church. And I just went in and said, I'm doing this. Here's our mission statement. And he read the mission statement. He said, I think this is wonderful. We need to do more stuff like this. I applaud you in what you're doing. So I was very, very happy. And I think a lot of us have just been sitting silent with these feelings of wanting to reach out and wanting to stand up for gay people, because people say things and they don't realize what they're saying. And they don't realize that the gay community cares about what Mormons say. I think sometimes it's a feeling of, well, the gay people hate us, so, you know, I'm not going to be careful about what I say. I'm not going to reach out. And so I think this will give other people the courage and the confidence to stand up.
Speaking with Erica Munson, she is the founder of Mormons Building Bridges, which marched in the Gay Pride Parade this last week. And also with us, Kendall Wilcox, the executive producer of Empathy First Productions, and Valerie Larrabee, the executive director of the Utah Pride Center. We're talking about being gay, about gays and the Mormon culture. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We need to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. So what does it mean to have hundreds of current and former members of the LDS Church march in a gay pride parade? That's the question we're exploring this hour, along with what it means to be gay and Mormon. And you can join our conversation with Kendall Wilcox, award-winning filmmaker and executive producer of Empathy First Productions, Erica Munson, the founder of Mormons Building Bridges, and Valerie Larrabee, executive director of the Utah Pride Center. And you can join us at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Let's go back to the phones. Jeff is rejoining us from Salt Lake City. Jeff, hi.
Hi. Do you hear me now?
Yeah, you're on a cell phone, but go ahead.
Yes. I got 2 points to make. Actually, three in a way. Homosexuality is a sin. It will forever be a sin. And to march with these people is condoning their sin, which makes it wrong. Now, love them, be friends with them, but don't condone their sinful actions. And two, they're holding out hope that someday the church will change and allow temple marriage for homosexuals. That will never happen. It will never be tolerated. Those are my points.
Jeff, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Erica, let's get your response first. Condoning the sin.
Sure. We felt that we did not want to take the stand of love the sinner, hate the sin. That hasn't worked. That doesn't make people feel any better. It makes them feel worse. And it doesn't help with communication in any way, shape, or form. And we are commanded to love everyone. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Everyone, period. And so that's what we were trying to do.
Kendall, to his second point about holding out hope that the LDS Church will change its doctrine, will allow gay people full membership and blessings in the gospel. What do you have to say to that?
First, if I can, just answer a little bit the first one and then get to that. For people like Jeff that just obviously feel that marching in the parade is just not for them. That's fine. That's your personality. That's your take. That's your stance. But I would just say, well, but don't stop there. I mean, if you say you do love and, you know, we befriend, like you said, the LGBT community, act on it. Like, genuinely reach out. Genuinely make sure that those around you who are gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, really feel and believe that love. There's that. In terms of holding out hope that the church, will change, I'm not lobbying for change within the church. I know that that's not really how the Mormon experience works, in terms of, change coming from somebody like me. And so I'm not lobbying for that. I you know, Jeff's statement and assessment is not reflective of my attitude or my experience. Of course, there are others who you know, openly wish and hope that the church would change, and you know, and I can see why, and I can understand that. Mm-hmm. So,
what about that point? Are you holding out hope that the church will change its doctrine or practices in any way, Erica?
What I'm really working for now is communication between these two groups and maintaining my continuing commitment to the church. That's where I am.
Thanks very much, Jeff, for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Let's go to Sandy calling from Layton. Sandy, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Listen, I just wanted to say I moved to Utah about 17 years ago, Kaysville for 16 years, and I had never met a Mormon. I'm not Mormon, and I kept an open mind. Some of my very best friends all these years later are Mormon, and I also have an incredible group of gay friends who I love. Both groups are incredible. They're amazing people. I've tried to build the bridges one by one, and I've been somewhat successful, but I just wanted Erica to know that I am so encouraged and thank her for her courage. And I think that she's the building bridges and you know, lessening the gap is going to go so far towards improving relationships and understanding. As far as your previous caller went, I think his name was Jeff, I think there's just a lot of fear due to misunderstanding and lack of exposure. And once you accept and understand people, as I have the Mormons, and I'm a big defender of the Mormons, especially when I go out of state, it's the same thing for the LGBT community. Understanding eliminates fear and creates relationships, and everybody is better for it. So thank you so much, and thank you to Val for her efforts for the Pride Center and all of the strides that they have made as well. So just wanted to get my comments in there.
Thanks, Sandy, for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number. I want to go to another call. This is Bishop Riberos from Salt Lake City. Bishop, hello. Are you there? Apparently he can't hear us. Let's see. Are you there, Bishop Riberos?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Okay. I serve as a bishop like this 3.5 years. And I met, you know, many young people and older people too that have those problems. And you know, they ask all the questions, you know, what can I do? And because, you know, I've been very able, you know, to follow what the church, you know, tell us to do, I use the same, you know, scriptures with them, you know. I use the same professionalism, you know, to be as a bishop, you know, and have been the spiritual guide of these people. And as other people say, you know, this is a great thing that's happening, not just, you know, the caller before was saying that it's wrong. It's not wrong. If you are guided by the Spirit, then that will be the result. So my comment here will be that, of course, you know, that we'll never church, you know, the church will never change. The Lord never changed. So if we follow them, these people can be helped. Several of them, in my case, they went back and became, you know, a straight person. They got married and everything. Very few of them, you know, they just, you know, keep on doing it, and eventually they fall out of the church. So I would like to ask them, if that's the purpose of this organization, to help them to come back or just to accept the way they're thinking. That would be a good idea, not to understand what they're trying to do.
Okay, thanks very much for the call. Therapeutic intervention has been a raging debate in the LDS community and beyond. I mean, can you change a gay person to being a straight person? That doesn't seem to be part of your mission, Erica.
Yeah, Mormon Building Bridges isn't about changing people. It's about reaching out to people, and it's about creating a space for LGBT people in our congregations. And I think we're at a point where that space is starting to be created by lots of other people, and I'm thinking about the kids at BYU, the gay groups at BYU who are staying at BYU, who have created a place where they can be openly gay and they can be Mormons, and I think that's what we're about.
Mm-hmm. Valerie, that's probably something that you've heard before, this reparative therapy, you know, bringing people back into the straight community. What's the research show? Does it work?
there's been a lot of dialogue and misunderstanding about reparative therapy. I think it's pretty clear that the research shows that it is not effective for the purpose that it's intended. And it's much more important to for people to understand that the major benefit for people who are struggling with their sexual identity is to not be rejected by the people who love them.
Does the LDS Church have a position on reparative therapy? It relies heavily on lay clergy. Kendall Wilcox, I mean, have you been counseled by your leaders to sort of engage in ways that would change who you are?
No, I have not. When I came out to my bishop, excuse me, his response was, okay, great, do you want to be my ward clerk? You know, he wanted me to be more active and participate, and he really... Yeah, we did not in any way try to change me, and since then he's become my home teacher. So he visits with me once a month, and he cannot get enough of like hearing every detail of my life and my experience, and in no way, never a word about change or attempting to change. I know that is definitely out there. It's in part of the culture and the community, and the church is, you know, maybe a little intentionally unclear sometimes about, you know, about that issue. There are statements from the church saying, you know, by and large, we don't feel like this can be changed. And so if you choose to engage in any sort of therapeutic experience, be very careful. So I appreciate that caution. Mm-hmm. But they still do sort of leave that door open, which is a tough thing to negotiate. I mean, I personally want to encourage each individual to feel a sense of empowerment, self-determination, to figure out their path and their process, because that is one aspect of sort of life that in some senses has been taken away from us growing up gay and Mormon. That you just lose the sense of self-empowerment is eroded away because you distrust a fundamental aspect of yourself. And so If we can empower these individuals to sort of believe in themselves, trust their instincts, and if those instincts say maybe you should try out some therapies or something, I would prefer to educate them and help them feel capable to make those choices in a healthy, sustainable way, and so that hopefully if they don't work out, they can walk away and not feel like, oh, I'm a failure, it's because of me. They're saying, well, okay, I've given it a try. I've sort of appeased that aspect of myself that says you should at least try. Because of all the cultural, cultural pressures to do so, and then walk away healthy and say, I gave it a try. It's not right. It's not right for me. Maybe it is for others, but I know myself, and this is my life that I'm going to build for myself. So,
can I add something?
Yes, please.
I just want to thank that bishop for calling in, because he clearly really cares about the people in his congregation, and he's trying to live by the Spirit, and I just want to honor him for that. Mm.
Thanks very much for that call. Our time is very short, but I want to sneak in a couple more calls. This is Anna calling from Salt Lake City. Anna, hello.
Hi. So I just want to say, first of all, that it's great that you guys are having this discussion on the air. I'm loving hearing this feedback, you know, after being at the parade and seeing you guys march. I wanted to say that we were there when you guys were marching, me and my partner, and we both just kind of looked at each other and just, like, we definitely had this feeling of, oh, my gosh, you know, it felt like a big deal to us, you know. Even though, I guess, you know, in the world view, it's kind of it wouldn't really be that big of a deal, but to us, you know, we definitely felt like, wow, you know, that's a big thing. You know, we never expected to see Mormons marching in this, so that was great. On that note, though, I did want to say that I love that you guys are really, really practicing what you preach. I wish the rest of the Mormon church could follow you. I think I heard or read somewhere that you guys weren't officially endorsed by the LDS church or something to that effect, and I was kind of disappointed to hear that, but maybe that'll change in the future, and maybe that is something that could work out in the end, and thank you guys so much for doing what you do, and we definitely love to see that. Thanks.
Anna, thanks a lot. Would you march again, Erica?
Oh, absolutely. We're really excited about next year.
Oh, very good. One last phone call. This is Mark calling from Salt Lake City. Mark, hi.
Hi. Terrific. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Hey, you know, I'm a first-time listener, but you guys intercepted me on my my usual commute to the sports talk radio, but, you know, obviously an interesting topic, and, you know, I'm a single 30-year-old heterosexual LDS male, and I feel, you know, like I've seen kind of this evolution of the topic, and I've got a lot of friends, you know, that are homosexuals, and I've got, you know, my dad is an LDS bishop, and I think there's kind of this black and white line that a lot, oftentimes people kind of skew at gray, and it's acceptance versus tolerance. And we've seen that, you know, the church, we've seen their universities be intolerant, you know, of a lot of aspects of the gay or LGBT community. And it's fair to say, I think, that they don't have to accept, you know, homosexuality. And nobody really does. Just like non-LDS people don't need to accept that, you know, Joseph Smith translated a golden book. But they should respect it and tolerate, you know, the fact that religious beliefs here, you know, in Salt Lake Valley, you know, kind of reign supreme. And so I think that, you know, we're seeing kind of an evolution with the universities and with the culture in that tolerance. And it's great to see. You know, it's great to see that hopefully that's the bridge that's being, I think, gapped and, you know, understanding that, you know, tolerance and acceptance aren't the same thing.
Mark, thanks for stopping by. I hope you'll stay here instead of going to your sports talk. I guess my final question builds on Mark's point that there is sort of a sense that there's more tolerance out there. Valerie, now that this group, Mormons Building Bridges, has sort of jump-started a conversation, where does that conversation go from here between gays and Mormons?
I'd like to just address the word tolerance. That's a very difficult word. It connotes a better than relationship to the folks that you're tolerating. And so acceptance is the term that is sought by so many of us to be accepted and respected for who we are. And to have that be a mutual relationship. If, you know, we're LDS and Catholic or we're atheist, it doesn't matter, but to be accepted by another person for all of who you are. And where do I think that the relationship is going to go from here is that I think that we will continue to have these wonderful dialogues, and I hope that we continue to have incredibly large displays of love from the gay community to the Mormon community and from the Mormon community to the gay community. And I know that I also think that Erica and Kendall have a tremendous amount of courage, and the love that emanates from them is incredible, and I really appreciate that.
Kendall, where do you think it's going? You said there's a vibrant online community that's building. Next steps, where you go?
I feel like we have reached a tipping point within the LDS community about this issue. It's just a tipping point, but it is a palpable change, and it's evidenced by people like Erica, who's not alone, who straight members, active members of the church, sort of waking up and realizing that they have to do something more because their instincts, I mean, their, call it whatever it is, their instincts, their Christ-like love and light is telling them the way that this has gone or it's going, that trajectory where it was going is not good. It's not okay. It's not becoming of a disciple of Christ to allow anyone to think that they are less than you for any reason, let alone to let them go all the way to the point of wanting to kill themselves. So, there is a palpable change in the LDS community and culture, and it's going to start popping up in all sorts of ways, like Erica. People just finding ways to step up and make it clear that they really do love and accept their homosexual brothers and sisters.
Erica, my final question. I mean, it's one thing to publicly be out there, be talking about it. It's another thing to bring that discussion into the chapel, into the church. Is that a goal, that message of love, bringing that to your immediate congregation? Is that something that you hope to accomplish in this transition from tolerance to acceptance?
Absolutely. And, you know, when we get baptized, be it as children or adults, we commit to bear one another's burdens and comfort those who stand in need of comfort. And we have a group of people here who need to be comforted, and we need to consider their burdens our burdens. And I think the most important stuff that can happen goes on in your local congregation, goes on in your ward, goes on in quiet conversations between people, in inviting people to church, that kind of thing. And I think we could do amazing things that way.
Erica Munson, she is the founder of Mormons Building Bridges. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Kendall Wilcox, an award-winning filmmaker, executive producer of Empathy First Productions. Kendall, thanks to you.
Thank you.
And Valerie Larrabee, executive director of the Utah Pride Center. Valerie, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Coming up next, Blue Grassy Bliss, a conversation with the Folkadots. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.